Hello, and welcome to another episode of Set for Life Conversations, where we help you get your mind right and your money right by discussing life strategies for the everyday person. I'm your host, Thomas Lacoma, and each episode we'll spend some time with financial advisor, pastor, and motivational speaker, published author, and former college athlete, George Thompson, as he shares with us wisdom that you can put into practice today. In today's episode, we talk about a map you can follow to financial success. We discuss how the keys to achievement unlock your ability to take advantage of the four stages of financial growth. This in turn will help you to improve your financial being over time. Good morning, George. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing good.
Been a busy, crazy week, right?
Yes.
So I think we had a little bit of hiatus last week as we just shared the Facebook Live that I posted. This week, we're going to go back into the topics that we were talking about related to wealth building, being successful, and all that stuff.
Yes, and I want to jump in here real quick. So last week, last week we took a break. We took a break because all that was happening was civil unrest, and then we had the I'm going to say the Central Park incident, and then we had the other areas and everything that, you know, you and I had a conversation about. And we just also want to tell everybody, it's okay to take a break and just breathe. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that. And we had some things we wanted to get off our chest, and we said it, and then now we're back. So I want to say the same thing to you. If something happens and you're doing it, we're human. We also need to look when something happens in our society. We need to take action, and then we need to keep going, and then keep doing our lives, but then continue to take action in those areas.
It's very, very important. I think one of the things we always talk about in this podcast is the importance of balance. It's important to achieve goals. It's important to be good on your finances, but it's also important to take care of yourself and to have that self-care. So last week was an example of us, you know, doing what we say to do. And we just, like George said, needed to do an exhale, you know, process some things. And we did that out in the open to show you that it's okay and to give you some of our thoughts. So thanks again for listening and being a part of that.
And again, I want to say the same way. So what happened with George Floyd is we were sitting there and we just couldn't do it. And I said, so what we're going to do. So if you get in a position like that, where you get in a position, then what you want to do is take a break, take action. Because that's the thing. If you remember, we don't freeze. We just pivot. So then we took action. We said, these are some things people need to do. And we posted it. Or Thomas, you have it. So we know what people can do. And then now we're coming back to this. But we're not forgetting. We're going to keep moving with that we said as well. But we're also going to keep what we're doing going. Mm-hmm. So then that way, it's a win-win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Love it. So in the past, we've talked about the five levels of financial being and the four stages of financial growth. We're not going to go into depth on either of those today. You can go back to some of the older podcasts to hear what that is about. But today, we'd like to start kind of showing you how these concepts fit together. So in your book, George, you talk about something called the wealth map. I'm going to put it up on the screen for those who are looking on the video. And then for those who follow us by audio, we'll have a link to this. But while I put this up, can you kind of give us an overview of what the wealth map is here? Let me put it up here.
Great. And while Thomas is putting that up, one of the things about the wealth map that is very critical is in the book, The Wealth Cycle, this wealth map actually outlines everything it takes to be successful. So as you see, it has the five levels of well-being: the struggling, the steady, the solid, the surplus, the service. That's deciding where you're at in life, where you're at right now. Excuse me. Then you have the four stages of financial growth. Again, both these we've gone over before: spending control, debt elimination, saving and investing, and building a wealth machine. So one is where you're at, and then the other one is showing you how to grow. And then this is how you actually do it. So how you go through it in the areas. And the first way we have to actually start is with your mind, is we have to look. And as you know, mind is in the book, it'll say money, intelligence, need, discipline. But what we want to make sure we're covering here is this is showing you how you use, it starts with all in your mind and how you view things. And you actually want to change that and have a mindset that is building wealth, but it also has a successful mindset. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through things a little bit later on. We talk about habits and outcomes and goals, but we first have to have the correct mindset. So we give a lot of resources in the book. First of all, first thing is we want to use affirmations. You always want to speak about yourself in a positive tone, in a positive manner, and you make a declaration, and that's at the beginning of the book. And also, I want to say this. I'm not trying to plug the book, but also you want to get the book, The Wealth Cycle, because all of this is in there. I just want to give you an overview of them today, but we keep saying we're putting up the links. But also, I just want to say this first about mindset. Invest in yourself, everybody. Mm-hmm. I think the book is a ballpark around $20. Invest $20. You're going to have to learn to invest. Actually, when we talk about investing, in order whether the stock market, when you watch this, is up or down, you have to buy something first, and then it has to go up. And then, Thomas, I'm sorry, I grew up in the Midwest in Minnesota. So one of the things is I've learned about whenever a farmer, you have to plant something, then you have to actually tend it, fertilize it. You have to grow it. Then at some point you reap a harvest. You can't reap a harvest if you have not planted. So in doing that, and then we'll also walk through that process as well. But our mindset, you have to start learning to invest in yourself and in what you're doing. So yeah. Do that. So then also you can pop that right back up. I'll walk through the rest of them.
Okay.
We're going to ask another question?
No. I wanted you to continue. Here we go. Gotcha.
Okay. So then a body. So body, I'm going to go, I'm going to start going from left to right. So then body, that is your body. You got to take care of your body, everybody, and in these areas. And I'm just going to give you an overview. We go deeper later. That means we have to eat right. You have to eat right. We have to exercise and drink water. And then we also have to get proper sleep. So we have a whole part where we talk about that. And then let us know also in the comments, tell us and say, hey, I'd like to know more about that. And then we'll either give you resources or we go much deeper into that. And then goals. Can somebody say goals? Just say goals to me. I know you're sitting at home or you're driving your car, but just say goals at least three times. So you want to say what your goals are. Then we have a whole way of setting up your goals, and that's through desire, focus, accountability, and consistency, and we walk through that. And then successful people have successful habits. So we want to actually start having habits that are good and successful, like getting up early in the morning. And we have a whole ways of showing you how to do that, whether it's getting up early, whether it's treating your family a certain way. And we want to build that. And that happens through a system. And then I also hit that as well. And then we want to have very good outcomes so that we walk through them. So that's actually how you do them. So I kind of hit the top headers. Now I just want to just go through them a little bit deeper the exact same way. So first is when you have your mindset, then you have your vision. Now I'm going from top to bottom. Vision means what's your plan. And we actually have a car that we actually use as an illustration. So when you have a car, that is looking out the front of the car. You're looking out the front of your car. So you're looking out the front window. And then we want to have really good principle and characters. So that's what you're made up. So we make what's called a vision statement that we actually walk through. That this is who I am. And then I am going to do my very best so we don't go down that path. But for example, right now people need to decide what their character is and what they see based on what happened. And when we talked about the George Floyd case, like we decided, like, hey, this is not something that this is not what we do. We treat people a certain way. Then body, that is like a vehicle, like a car, like we have a body. We want to take care of our bodies. And this is God's temple. And we want to treat them well. And then as you see, we write down, and also in your illustration, it says action. It says words and then our actions.
Yeah. I think actually, just to add to that, one of the important things I think you talk about in the books around the body is that you basically, everything you do in your life, you do it through your body. You speak through your body, you walk with your body. If you have a goal, that goal is going to be achieved by your body doing something. So you have the vision in your mind, you're seeing where you need to go, but you need to make sure this vehicle can take you there.
Right. That's perfect. And that's the part about our body. And then we have to have an image of our body. We don't want to say our body's a hoopty. We want to start having our body. I'm sorry, by hoopty is a term when they say like you bought a car and you just hope it works. and you hope the car works. So you want to just make sure that we begin to take, we tend to take care of our cars, our bodies, which is our vehicle. And then goals, that's, we spend so much time on that. So the first thing is you want to have a plan. And right now we've been telling people before the coronavirus, we're telling people, hey, you have an annual plan. Then we start breaking down 90-day plans. Now you really need them because now you have to start having short, medium, and long-term plans. And what is a long-term plan is that actually we want to become a habit so that you begin to walk through it. So we want to make sure we have our plans. It's almost like we're saying it twice when we go over habits, because you want to have a system for your habits. One of the things about Set for Life is we always say this: you want to live your life by design and not by default. What that means is there are sometimes we get up and we live our day just by someone said to go do this, someone said to go do that, and we're just running around doing what other people said and putting out fires. Mm-hmm. Instead, we put down, we say, this is the life that I want to do. That's your goals, everybody. And this is what we want to achieve. And then we spend time achieving that. Mm-hmm. When I teach salespeople, financial advisors, when I'm consulting with people, one of the goals that I always told them was, I'll show you how to double your business. And actually how I do that is we just spend time doing what actually makes money. it's funny. And people do it. I said, I found out, we had a person that was in sales. We found out how much time they spend a day actually selling, meaning sitting down, talking to someone about the product or about what they're doing. And they found it was less than 30 minutes. We got them to an hour. And then how we doubled was get it to 2 hours. That's it. The rest of the time is returning phone calls, going around, doing this, doing that, sending emails. Emails don't make, you have to spend time doing what will help you be successful. That's why we build a whole system around it. Oh my gosh, I'm getting excited. And then we have to be consistent. Just keep doing it. If you look at people that are consistent, they keep doing it and they do their very best every day. Thomas, I'm putting my hand in the air and I'm gonna give you one sentence and then that's it. As you know, we watched Michael Jordan did a documentary called The Last Dance. Mm-hmm. If there was an example of work ethic and discipline, that is one. I mean, you saw that. We commented on previous ones. His teammates sometimes didn't like him because he was dry. He was riding people. He was trying to hold them. And they would say this. Michael Jordan was trying to hold us to the same standard that he was. And we were like, we can't do that. Like, they were saying that. I'm like, but you're on the NBA team with him. You need to be somewhere. But this is the thing. They got up high enough to where they could win. And that was very good. I'll give you a sentence. You want to say anything about that, or you're good?
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'm primarily a LeBron guy. So.
Hey, wait. You know what? No, he's out in Los Angeles with us. Yeah. And wait, can I say something? And you hear what LeBron says, and these things. And if you look at it, they have a little bit of a different. They have a different skill set. Look how LeBron passes more, team and orientation, and they're both very. Very intelligent with the ball, how they manage and how they see the game. And what also about the longevity of that.
And that's the piece that I think is similar between the two. What you were saying is that they both had a systematic way that they approach success. If you look into both of their backgrounds, like for LeBron, there's a lot more technology today about how to keep your body in shape and he has focused in on those things. That's why in his late 30s, he's still, producing at a very high level. But both of them, they work every day. They focused in and knew that basketball was the thing that was their vehicle. That's the thing that would take them to all the other places that they wanted to go. So they put the work in. Right. And that's the thing. And it was all habits. If you look, if you break it down, that's why we are on the systems piece. They each figured out what are the habits that are directly connected to my success. and then they just did those over and over. You could take Kobe. Kobe, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a funny story about Kobe where there was I forgot which player it was. He said that he knew he was playing Kobe. They came into the town where I guess they were coming into L.A. and they were going to play the Lakers. And so he went into the gym the day it was either the day of the game, or the day before. And he was putting up as many shots as he could. He was working outside of the regular practice. So he's doing extra work. Right. So Kobe comes in and he sees this dude here and he knows he's playing the guy, you know, the next day. Right. So he goes in and he starts shooting. And this guy said he shot in the gym. Kobe stayed in that gym and he just eventually he finished and he left and Kobe was still in the gym. And later on, I think later they were talking years later and Kobe said, you know what? I saw you in that gym and I said, I'm not leaving until this guy leaves. Because I need him to see that, you know, that whatever work he can put in, I'm putting in more work than you, you know. So that's how these guys are wired. But, you know, we're talking about basketball, but it fits to life. Find the things that tie to your success. What are those habits that you have to consistently do? You know, for a living, I work in technology, so I make sure that I code at least every other day because I want my mind to be constantly, you know, focused on that.
Right, and that's work, and actually, what you're talking about is a mindset. Mm-hmm. And actually, when you walked up to Kobe, and then as you know, I live out here in Los Angeles, and everything before was written, and you see it now, is Mamba mentality. And that's the mentality that he had. And you're saying work ethic, but it's the same. In the financial industry, I used to have to drive somewhere to take these securities licenses. And we sit in class all day. And I said, and I drove home one night and I was just so tired at the end, I couldn't study. So we're supposed to, we're in the class all day. And then they give us homework. And then I get home and I was too tired. So what I did is I started sitting in the classroom and until when it closed at 5. And then I would sit there for 2 hours and do the homework and then drive home. Then when I sat there, there happened to be two other young ladies that sat there. And I noticed the woman I sat there, they sat there too. And they were very nice. And I sat there and then I went and I'd get something to eat and I would go back home. After this, what happened was the next day they'd read off the scores and they would read the name. They'd say, Thompson, you know, 98. And then they'd say those two early names, 98, 99, 97. Every then we found out, then everybody else would be like 80, 82, 80. And then the same manner. Then by the end of the week, we had the highest scores. And then one night when I was there, I stayed later. And then one night I decided I was the same way. I'm not leaving until y'all leave, you know, and they were doing it. But then we found out. And then now it's interesting now being passionate, I was like, is that I see now like the aspects of talking to them and saying like, hey, let's all win together as a team and doing that instead of just saying, instead of just looking at it. But you see, that's a mentality. And then the last area that deals with is outcomes.
Before we go into that, let me just, I just want to, in case people just joined us, if you're new here, welcome to the show. We release new episodes every Friday morning. If you have a topic you would like us to cover on finances, productivity, biblical stewardship, or anything else that captures your imagination as you're listening to us, look for the link in the show notes where you can drop us a message. We listen to every one of those messages. So I just want to make sure that I let people know that if you're new here. But yeah, go ahead, George. Let me put this image back up. Right. So we can continue.
And welcome. Please put these in there. And these are, one of the reasons why we do this is we want to make what's happening right now that you can actually be able to do these. And these are just great. So we want to have outcomes. And outcomes is what we think in our mind to how we do our body, to how we have the goals and habits is that we get outcomes. I'm going to go back. I'm sorry. I'm going back to Michael Jordan and LeBron. Okay. They are champions before they win these titles. You have to come in and you have to have that working out. When I play collegiately, like we are to win. We win. And we have to, and you have to have that mentality. You have to think that. When they were young and when they were younger, they knew they were going to be champions in that area. And that's the same thing that we teach our children. If you remember, There are times when my kids, I've been doing sermons on Sunday, and they remember, my kids, if you don't remember, they know how to say, be on time, finish what you start, do what you say you're going to do, and say please and thank you.
Say please and thank
the
you.
The outcomes are, is first of all, the first outcome we have is to finish what we start. There's this big club out there. It's called the Starters Club. Everybody's in that club, right? I'm going to go to college. I'm going to lose weight. I don't know what. Oh, I'm going to have $1 million. I'm going to do this. You know, all those. And then there's a little smaller club. Thomas, you know what the name of that club is called? It's called the Finishers Club.
Finishers Club.
Our goal is to walk you from the Starters Club to the Finishers Club. And that's really what that's all about. So when we do that, the wealth map walks you through that by having metrics of how you're going to do that. That's that focus area that we talk about in our area. So we want to have metrics. In other words, like I'm going to use a gym and I'm going to pick on you and me. We used to go to a gym here in Los Angeles, and we used to go to this gym, and I found out that we would do this workout. And then we decided to do it through Set for Life the way we do it. So we said at the end of every month, we're going to measure you, measure your arms, measure your measure all parts of your body, your hips, legs, and everything. So, and then as me and my wife, so we did, I did the man, she helped the ladies, and we measured everybody. And then we wrote it down in your weight, because you can't just do weight, because you might lose weight, but then
you may be gaining muscle. Yeah.
So, so we want to measure everybody. So do you know how many testimonies we got of people that were saying, like, if we knew you were being measured on the first day of every month and you went to the cheesecake, you went out that night for thing, you're like, I'm putting this piece of cheesecake down. I'm putting down a piece of coffee because I know I'm getting measured.
Yeah.
That's where that accountability comes in.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Did you know that pretty much everybody in there lost almost 30 pounds or lost much? Mm-hmm. We had two ladies that said their husband told them to stop losing weight. I'm not going to get into what nationality they were, but their husband said, don't lose the booty. The husband said, stop, wait. Stop working out to the level, work out to the level where you can stay. Don't lose nothing.
Right?
They said, lose up to this point, but then you gave it up. So in doing that, but you see that, what did we do? We put them in an environment. We said we start every day at 6 a.m. in the morning. Then what were we working on? Their body. And then what was our goals? They told us what their goals were. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing about Set for Life. You tell us what the goals are. And then we develop in very successful habits. And then we measure outcomes. And that outcomes, and we'll go through, and I please let us go through a car next time. The outcomes, is a dashboard. When you have a dashboard of a car, it is, what are the most key factors of that? You want to know where your gas gauge is, or if you drive in hybrid or electric, you want to know how much energy is left in the car. Do you see that? How we're going to transform one day into that. So we won't even say gas. Do you see that? I hope somebody caught that. We're going to see how much energy or how much gas is in the car. Then we want to see how fast we're going, right? I want to break down a whole one, but I just wanted to say how fast we're going is important. And then, are we hot or cold? You know, is a car overheating? Can we sustain this and these areas? Then you want to know how your dashboard is doing. Like, you want to know what 5 key components of what's going on in your business and what you're doing. If you're on an island, they gave you these 5 things. Like, how many appointments did you have? Thomas, how much did you code? How much did you do this? You want to have measurements that doing that, and you always want to be looking at your dashboard. And I'm gonna say one last thing, and then I'm done. I gotta stop after that. Is this? And then I want everyone to look at a dashboard of a car, and then I want you guys to Google a Tesla dashboard. The electronics that they're showing you in there. Now I'm gonna show you where you're at right now, but they're showing you where everybody else is, and we're gonna all do it together. And we want to have very good outcomes, and we do that by looking at our metrics and then by walking us through accountability. Yeah. So consistency and accountability, those are action.
Yeah.
Mind and body and goals are knowledge. That's knowledge. Knowledge breeds wisdom. Can just say wisdom to me. Just say wisdom. Just say wisdom. You're sitting home by yourself. Say wisdom. Not you start off with knowledge, but you want it to be wisdom. And then when you have wisdom and action, you are unstoppable.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the piece around the outcomes, because I think this is something that's often missed. People will go all the way to having a plan. So lots of people write down goals. And then this, you know, that's what New Year's resolutions are. You're writing down goals, right? But then you get to February and like, why haven't I made any progress on this goal? The first thing to check is what kind of system did I put in place? Like, what did I say I was going to do consistently on a daily basis, weekly basis that would get me closer to that goal? And then how did I say I was going to measure that? Because you could have something that you're doing. Okay, I'm doing this every day. I'm doing this every day, but it's not working. There's no way for you to know it's not working unless you said, okay, I'm projecting in my mind that if I start here and I do this every day, when I get to this day, X will have happened, right? For example, if the health example that we said, or for example, my son is training for his black belt in Taekwondo. And they one of the requirements is they have to run a mile under a certain amount. I think it's under 10 minutes or something like that. The first time he did it, he had never run this length. So he thought he was all good. And he just went right out the gate.
Right.
At the end, he didn't make it. He was short on the time because he just ran out of gas. And then I told him, you know what? You got to build your body up to this endurance to right. be able to do it for the length that you have. But the endurance is not going to come if you just run once a week trying to make the time. You have to consistently run every other day and then build up to the time. And for him, the metric is, it's very easy. Do I run the mile under the time? And each time you can tell how short he was of the time. Right. So if you tie this back to the financial stuff that we talk about, that's another a really important work that the budget does, right? Right. Because right. your budget is actually dynamic. When you first put it down, you may actually be wrong about some of the categories. It might be you thought you spent this amount on a particular category, but you actually don't. You know, it actually goes over. It's a little bit lower. So at the end of the month, if you look at it and you say, wait a minute, we keep going over in this category and we're doing everything that we can to do the right thing. We're not wasting money. Then maybe right. that category, the number is actually bigger, and then you adjust it. So your metric of your budget showed you that in this area, we actually spend this much, and it becomes more accurate over time. And then other areas, you may find, hey, we actually thought we spend this much, but we spend less there. So let's make that lower, make this other one larger. We're still getting the same income, but now we have a better dashboard of what our right. money is doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And one thing about a budget, obviously, is that, and then we're going to like the car illustration we said earlier, mm-hmm. that's fuel. Mm. We want to make sure we can make it to the destination. So that's why we always want to adjust that. And I'm yeah. saying fuel. I'm going to say fuel, I guess, for the next few years. But eventually, I'm going to say how much power we have in the car. So because you remember, we want to be able to have more so we can mm-hmm. so we can be able to do that and adjust it. So that's very important about the budget, because then we can go further if we learn how to be more efficient, just like the cars learn how to be more efficient. So we yeah. can do that.
Yeah. Before we get to our final segment, I just wanted to let you guys know that if you have a question for George that you'd like him to answer, it can be anything, finances, relationships, getting things done. The couple of ways you can get your question to us. One is click the link in the show notes of this episode where you can leave us your question as a voice recording. As I said before, you can do this right from your phone and we get it directly. The second is to follow George on Facebook. That's the best way to get in touch with him. And the link will be in the show notes. The third way is you can hit me up on any of my social media locations. I'm at TZ Lacoma everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Instagram and Facebook are the ones that are most active for me. So you've seen the wealth cycle, the wealth map that we just spoke about. And just to bring it all back in, what we are really trying to do with the wealth map is to give you almost like a skeleton that you can use to put the meat on for your life, right? Exactly. Because like George said, the five levels at the top basically give you it's almost like a diagnosis. You know, before you can figure out what to treat or what to focus on, you need to know what the situation actually is. So you use the five levels to figure that out. And then we have at the bottom the four stages, which are the actual specific steps you can be taking on a consistent basis to be improving your levels. But to tie it all together, we have these pieces, which we have it both in our wealth site, in the wealth cycle book that George wrote, and in the Set for Life book, because it's very important. Because it's not just about how you do finances, it's about how you do life. Right. You know, those areas that we spoke about, having your vision right, having your, you know, what you do with your body right, how you put that into, you know, action, the knowledge and the action is all really important. So, you know, just to kind of, I think this will also help us to tip off into some of the things we're going to talk about as we go forward. George, I wanted you to just talk a little bit, maybe give us like a practical example of how you've used some of these things when dealing with, you know, particular either a client or somebody you were counseling, or like how you would take some of these pieces and actually put them into action.
I gotcha. That's, I want to use examples, but then I also want everyone to actually write down your examples, because I think we also need to do that as homework. Actually, when we sit down with anyone as a financial client, or also just anyone that does coaching, one of the first things we do is we sit down and we write down and we look at what position you're at right now. That's everybody. Then people write down what position they're in right now. That means the struggling, steady, solid, surplus service. And the goal is just to move you to the next level. If you're struggling to steady, if you're steady to solid, if you're solid to surplus, and surplus to service. So we're just going to put you on the next level, regardless of where you're at. And then to answer your question, countless people, but our goal is to do that because we want to move you to the next level, because right now, more than ever, people are frozen that aren't doing it. So it's not even if you're not doing this, then please tell us what you are doing, because we don't want people to freeze. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this in previous ones. That's one of the reasons why people are, I'm going to wait till all the coronavirus is over. I'm going to wait till the civil rights. Or the injustices that are happening with George Floyd saying, I'm going to somebody else do something. And then we're not going to get into this, but but we have sheets all on this is that, okay, so I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't matter. No. You're going to vote. We're going to also serve jury duty. We're going to do, in other words, take action. So we
be true citizens, right?
Right. Yeah. Just do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So in those areas, so we can get the outcomes. Mm-hmm. Our goal is right now is I want everyone to say the goal is that by the end of the year, like I want everyone to say, this is going to be, you know what, I'm close. This is going to be a great year. You understand that all the goals that we have for 2020, we still think we can achieve them. I mean, that's what
I'm
just.
I'm the same way.
But what is that? What is that, Thomas? That's a mindset that we can still achieve it. So people are like, oh, this is over. Then there's people that have said the opposite. They've said, okay, ever since Kobe died, and then this happened, then this happened, and they're saying all the negative things that have happened. And it's time for us to sit down and look at, hey, let's look at these things that have happened. They are very sad. We don't want to have anyone's life, whether it's a superstar or whether it's anybody from the coronavirus also for any reason that someone has passed. Those are devastating. Those are sad. But then we also want to continue though to move forward, so we can achieve that the other way, and then we can still set mind body control, because those are the things that we can control. Mm-hmm. And we think about what we have, not what we don't. And this is no matter what circumstance, is to be successful, you think about what you have and what resources you have and to move forward. Another reason why people aren't as successful is they're focusing on what other people have. So one of the things
really important of the first part of it is that vision, because you have to create the vision for yourself. So you heard George and I say that we both feel 2020, we're still going to do the things that we put down, because we put them down at the beginning of the year and we saw them in our mind as this is where I will be at the end of the year. So sometimes the path to that isn't how you planned. That's why the plan is so important to be flexible. It's kind of like a GPS. If a GPS sees that there's traffic, it reroutes, right? So that you'll go a different way, but you still have the same destination. Right. I actually found something, a good friend of mine from college posted something on Facebook. I think it's actually very apt to what George was saying. It says, what if 2020 isn't canceled? What if 2020 is the year we've been waiting for? A year so uncomfortable, so painful, so scary, so raw, that it finally forces us to grow. A year that screams so loud, finally awakening us from an ignorant slumber. a year we finally accept the need for change, declare change, work for change, become the change. A year we finally band together instead of pushing each other further apart. 2020 isn't canceled, but rather the most important year of them all. See, that is a mindset thing. It's saying, hey, everything I'm seeing around here, actually, it's supposed to raise me up. Right. Versus the person who says, I see all these things, man, what I thought I was going to do, I can't do it.
And you know,
see those different ways of looking at it? The same situation, experiencing the same things, but looking at it different.
Right. It doesn't, and they also say this, a coach even says to me, it's not even what happens to you, it's how you deal with what happens to you. When we talked about the positive, like what he said about 2020, like this is what I really enjoy about you know, the whole stay at home by decree. Everybody's like, I have cabin fever, I can't take it. And then also, you know, with the kids, you know, everyone is like, oh my gosh, you know, there's a thing saying if they didn't find if they don't find a cure in the next month, a parent gonna figure it out so these kids can go back to school. But I'm gonna tell you the positive of it. I really enjoy it. Do you know that now, instead of rushing from getting my kids up, taking them to school, bringing them back, taking them to practice, coming home, feeding, then going to bed, you know, and rushing. Now I eat breakfast with my children every night, every day, every morning, and I eat dinner with them, and we have time to sit and study, and we don't study beyond 6 o'clock at night because we've already done that during the daytime. And I'm the basketball coach and the math teacher, right? Mm-hmm. So I play with my kids individually, exercise with each one of them individually. That helps me and it helps them. And this is, I've never done that before. Done that with multiple children, you know, being able to do that because it's time, because now I'm at home. And the best is on Saturdays. You know where I am every Saturday? I'm at home. I think, you know, I do over 180 speaking engagements a year. I'm somewhere in the country usually on Saturday. And the first month, my wife used to come downstairs, just look at me sitting there. She's like, you're just sitting here. Wow. You know, like I'm doing it, but then that's more time with family. But then also what he said, what was said earlier is true about jobs. There's a lot of people working jobs they never liked. And then they get laid off, furloughed apart, and now they find a job. Now's the time for you to find something that you do like to do, or you can be more effective. And this is the time when you, going back to sports, work on your craft. Like if you're at home now there's certain things you can do that you couldn't do before. The time that you used to commute or drive to work, use that time to work on building your business or building or what your dream and what your vision and what the plan has, you know, that you have. Use this as an opportunity, like a rubber band. You know, you get a rubber band to go further, everybody. You have to pull it down for it to spring forward. Mm. And this is the time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been really, really good. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Set for Life Conversations with George. If you found value from what you heard today, there's a couple of things we'd like you to do to help us serve you better. As I mentioned earlier, if you have a question that you want us to answer, drop us a message using the link in the show notes of this episode, or hit us up on social media. If you're interested in going deeper in any of the topics that George teaches about, one of the best ways to do that is to get one of his books from the Ready, Set, Grow series. You can find a link to that in the show notes as well. You can also work with him as a financial planner. Those details will be included too if you want some more personalized assistance. If you just want to learn about George and what he's about, check out his website at www.georgebthompson.com. So thank you once again for joining us. We are excited to keep sharing more conversations with you. As I always say, we are on this journey with you and feel like we're going to grow as you grow.